The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
Good to see everybody back this afternoon. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21 is where we'll be. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, the parable of the rich fool. I want to begin by reading a portion or a couple of portions from a very shocking article that I found at some point last year, and I'll show you a couple pictures with it too. It's called Priciest Southwest Florida Home That Sold for $48.8 million in June Has Been Demolished. Very interesting. And when I saw this article last year, whenever I saw it, I said, you know what? That reminds me of the parable of that rich fool who built the barn and then it got tore down, basically. And this actually is one of the things that prompted me. I said, you know what? I should just do a series on the parables. Priciest Southwest Florida home that sold for $48.8 million in June has been demolished. The priciest home in Southwest Florida is no more. This was from November of last year, by the way. So about a year ago. The 10,825-square-foot mansion at 2500 Gordon Drive in Naples sold earlier this year for $48.8 million. It is now a barren construction site. Built in 1994, this six-bedroom, nine-bathroom, if you have ever heard of such a thing, mansion sat on 5.49 acres overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. Homes that previously sat on that plot had welcomed presidents and many other dignitaries over the past 81 years. According to public records, a complete demolition permit of all structures on the property was issued by the city of Naples on September 19th for an estimated cost of $150,000. That's more than my house. Just the permit to destroy the thing. Austin said, this is the excavator. He said all the structures and vegetation were removed from the property. Everything went to dump facilities. $48.8 million worth of stuff went to the dump. It's all recycled, he said. However, part of the home was furnished at the time of demolition, and Austin said he got to keep some of it. So the excavator took some of the stuff they gave him. So whatever was in there, some of it went to the excavator. You got to remember, it was completely top-of-the-line remodeled not even 11 years ago. So there was some really, and he uses the word killer, slang there, stuff in there. Keyword, stuff. $48.8 million worth of house and stuff, and now it's in a landfill. Ought to remind us just how serious this subject is. The parable of the rich fool. Let's talk about the background of this parable. By the way, this was that mansion. Nice, beautiful mansion. And this is the mansion that is no more. It's been leveled to the ground. Couldn't believe it when I saw that article. Let's talk about the background of this parable. And in verses 1 through 12, essentially what we have here is Jesus preaching a fine sermon, as he always did, and he ends up being interrupted. His sermon gets interrupted. Verses 1 through 12. Let's go ahead and read that really quickly. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say, there in that miraculous setting of the first century. And then we have an interruption, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, of all the things that this man could have brought up, he could have asked questions about the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees. He could have asked questions about some of these other things that Jesus is talking about, fearing God rather than fearing men, and the care that God has for these sparrows, and so he has care for us, and the confession that we should have of Christ toward God so that we won't be denied before the Father in heaven. And all these different things that he could have asked questions about, and here's what he asked. Can you talk to my brother for me and see about this inheritance that's supposed to be divided? Basically, can you be the arbitrator of this inheritance between me and my brother? What was his mindset? His mindset was completely on physical things, on money and possessions and so forth. And so Jesus is going to teach us a parable that is going to deal with that kind of mindset. We're not to be having our minds solely on physical things. Certainly, there are some physical things that we need, needs, that's understandable, but dwelling on physical things and putting our affections on physical things, making those our priorities, that's absolutely not what the Christian life is all about. Then verse 14, notice what Jesus says, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? An arbitrator is the idea. Jesus did not come to arbitrate these physical matters of possessions. It's not what he came for. He came to seek and save the lost, to die for us. And so he asked this question. And then in verse 15, he says, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. We think this man had a problem with covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The stuff, material items, money, or anything that money can buy. Man's life does not consist in these things, materialism. That's certainly something we need to be reminded of often, because we can easily fall into the trap of materialism. Let's look at this parable. Verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Can we relate to this? Can we relate to plentifulness? Bountifulness? I think we can. In America, the country that has been so richly blessed, probably one of the most richly blessed countries in all of history, if not the most. And so we can relate to the idea of plentiful blessings. I think about how by America's standards, none of us would probably be considered physically rich by America's standards. But what about the rest of the world? If we were to take our house, our car, our cell phones, our computers, our clothes, our food, and we were to just transport all of that over to another continent, Africa, Asia, South America, just transport all that over there, and then people were to come by and see what we have, would they say we were rich? I think in a lot of places in the world they would. And so we need to think about this, the idea of being blessed plentifully, and certainly this rich man had plentiful physical things, but unfortunately, his heart was in the wrong place. I think about plentiful, bountiful physical blessings that we enjoy here in America. Comparatively speaking, we're rich. And I think about how we've got to be very careful not to get caught up in the sin of covetousness, materialism, and so forth. Turn with me and let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll start in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment that would be clothing, let us therewith be content. Well, that's not much there, just food and raiment and contentment with that. But they that will be rich, they're willing themselves to it in sinful desires and affections and priorities. They will themselves to be rich. What do? They fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. How many people have been drowned in destruction in this life because of their greed? Whether it be in gambling or whether it be in illegal business activities or what have you. But so much more so whether we get caught in this life or not. In the next life, for sure, there will be destruction for those that are caught in this sin. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He goes on to talk about fighting the good fight. And then look at verse 17 and following. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, don't be prideful about it, nor trust in uncertain riches. You may lose it, don't trust in it, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The idea of helping people with the things that they're blessed with. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Don't lay hold on earthly riches. Lay hold on eternal life. Well, back to the parable. Let's look at verses 17 through 18. This man, he's foolish. He has plans to build bigger and better things. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Sounds like a good idea. If you were guaranteed more time. If you knew that you were going to live X amount of years longer. And so you were able to profit with your time and build up your stores more so. But again, if you were building up your stores, what are you using them for? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are you using those things to help people? Or are you essentially worshiping these things? So he has these plans to build bigger and better. And I wonder about the one who built the mansion in Florida that we talked about. Wonder if that person had plans to build bigger and better. And I wonder if he ever thought that his mansion would one day lie in a pile of rubble as it was torn down. I wonder if some of the entrepreneurs of these big retail stores like Sears and others, however many decades or 100 years ago they founded these stores, I wonder if they ever thought that their company would completely go under. And so we have to wonder about these physical, earthly things that we're building, and we have to ask ourselves, are our hearts in the right place? Are our priorities in the right place? On and on we could go listing examples. Things that look promising in this life, but they only fail in this life. How much worse will it be for those that are investing their souls in earthly things that are going to fail? And so it's foolishness. It's complete and utter foolishness. But we can find ourselves in the same game. We can find ourselves with the same misplaced priorities if we're not careful. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we listening to that very important lesson that the Scriptures are teaching us? Well, look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, this foolish rich man, once again, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, he's about ready for retirement, isn't he? He's built up this for all his working life, and now he's going to build the retirement home, the retirement barn, and he's got everything. Everything's looking great. He's going to be at ease. He's going to eat. He's going to drink. He's going to be merry. He's going to have a good old time. And yet this man was a fool. Why was he a fool? Because Christ will tell him his time was up. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? His very soul would be required of him that night. Whose would those things be? His kids? His siblings? What about his neighbors? What about some thieves that come along? No telling where his things would end up. But they wouldn't be his anymore. They'd be someone else's. And that's the point. This man was foolishly invested in all the wrong things. Things rather than spiritual things, heavenly things. If a man in the first century could have a problem with this mindset, this covetous, materialistic mindset, and he didn't have all the fancy gadgets and gizmos and cars and four-bedroom houses and on we could go. If he didn't have those kinds of things, then how much more can we easily fall into the same trap? We've got to be very careful. Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the key to the problem. He that layeth up treasure for himself. Where's the focus? The focus is on himself. Selfishness. Notice, and is not rich toward God. If our focus is all on self and how much money we make and how much retirement account we have and how much this and how much that, it's all about us, and we're forgetting what we're supposed to be laying up in treasure in heaven toward God, the focus is on us rather than God, then that's where we mess up. We have misplaced priorities. Materialism has its roots in selfishness. Love of self rather than love of God. What's the application? I like this application because Jesus goes basically into a second half of his sermon, or a new sermon, depending on how you look at the interruption. Verses 22 through 40. Notice what Jesus says. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. Those things will be taken care of. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And notice this, O ye of little faith. I wonder if he took a look at that gentleman who interrupted his sermon. As he says, O ye of little faith, so wrapped up in the inheritance that you want me to divide for you, that's not faithfulness. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Don't doubt. God will give us what we need. And let's have faith about that. Let's not doubt. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Worldliness. The nations of the world. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth nor corruption. There's a focus shift there, from physical to spiritual. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open up unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. It's a pretty good time for an invitation right there. He's just laid it bare for them. He's explained. He's coming. Jesus will return. If people knew when exactly the exact moment when he was going to return, they'd be ready for that exact moment. The problem is their hearts are so evil. They want to live it up and sin as long as they can and then quote-unquote repent right there at the last second when they know Jesus is coming. Well, that's not how it's going to work. Jesus is not going to announce his coming 5 minutes before, or 10 minutes, or 10 years, or 10 days, or what have you. He's going to come in the blink of an eye. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are living and remain will be caught with him in the air. And so we have to be ready. I like how this parable flows. Jesus is preaching this wonderful sermon, and he's making very good spiritual points. He gets interrupted with this very not spiritual question, very carnally minded question. Jesus rebukes the one who does this. And then he gives a very important parable to remind us of the importance of our spiritual focus rather than physical focus. And so let's make sure that we have that proper spiritual emphasis, not a physical emphasis. And let's make sure that we're ready when Jesus returns. As Jesus finished, or toward the end of what he was saying in this parable, he talks about being ready for when he would return. What about your life this afternoon? Are you ready? Where's your focus? Is your focus on materialism, covetousness, idolatry, which is what that really is? Or is your focus where it's supposed to be, on heavenly things? Are you laying up for yourself treasure in heaven, that incorruptible treasure? Or are you laying up for yourself treasure upon earth that is corruptible? The moth's going to get it. The thief's going to get it. And so it's foolish. Think about these things this afternoon. If you're here this afternoon and you need to obey the gospel, You know that. I hope you know that. The reason being is if you've never put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 verse 38, to have them washed away, Acts 22 verse 16, if you've never done that, having heard the gospel and believed in Christ and repented of your sins, confessed Christ, if you've never done those things, don't delay, because you're not going to be ready when Jesus does return. You may have done that and realize your priorities have been off. You're wrapped up in money and clothing and houses and cars and technology and on and on and on. We could go listing physical things, material things, not spiritual things. Don't be wrapped up in those things anymore. You may know that you need to repent of that kind of mindset. If so, please do so. It may be the case that it's gotten so bad that it's something that needs to be publicly repented of. Maybe there are those around you who know that you've been setting the wrong priorities in your life. Then repent of it publicly. If you need to come this afternoon, for whatever reason, if you need to come before the congregation asking for prayers, confessing sin in your life, repenting of your sins, asking for encouragement, whatever the case may be, please do so. Together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.